Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. They're breaking the glass ceiling in the entertainment world. Women comedians have been making us laugh for decades and decades. But the chuckles, the guffaws, chortles, giggles, and side splitters have come at a tremendous cost for many of the ladies in the laugh business. And sometimes the stories are not always that funny. Well, tonight we are talking to one of the best in the business, Lunell, about the tickles of the funny bone and some of the tragedies. Also, we're hearing from one of my favorites, Queen Aisha. And we're going to hear from our listeners as well. If you want to talk to these funny ladies, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Lunell, thanks for joining me.
Oh, hi.
Oh, God, this already started, has it? I can tell. All right. Hey, Aisha, how are you?
See, you know what? You're going to say Lunell, and you're going to say Aisha. Respect the queen, Aisha. What's up,
well, see, I thought we were close.
Hi, queen.
Yes,
actually, we shouldn't even be sharing this interview. You should have your own, and I should have had my own.
Yeah,
so
well.
I'm not.
Yeah, that's true.
They wanted the two of the best.
That's true. But, you know.
Nah, that's jive. They could have gave us one apiece.
Yeah, we
that's
could.
That's how they do us, Lunell. That's how they do the ladies. They
mm-hmm.
think that we
that's what I'm
them.
Saying. That's what we're going to talk about.
We ain't a real thing. Mm-hmm.
We could, but see, Aisha.
And all that. That's
yeah, yeah, see, but see, here's the thing. We need to make sure that you were going to show up.
Who are you talking to?
Mm-hmm, see? Yep.
But who are you talking to, though?
Lunell.
You know. I'm on set of a black female-written, black female-directed major motion picture right
now. Oh, really?
Now.
Can you tell us about it? Can you?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying you're talking about
yeah.
You wanted to make sure I was going to show up.
I know. We're just a little old radio station. You want
but
to make?
I don't have no reputation for not
okay.
Doing my commitment.
Well, I am glad to hear that. I am glad.
That's one thing with Lunell. We not, she can do what she can do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not starting off good, bro.
Oh, well, so can you tell us about it? Can you give us a hint at what you're
well,
doing?
First of all, I need you to apologize.
Oh, I am so sorry.
People sound like I have some kind of reputation for not showing up.
Mm-mm.
And in my 30-year career, that just is not the case.
I am so sorry.
So I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
I apologize.
Okay.
I truly apologize.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Okay, so what do you want to know about the film?
What you going to tell me?
Bro, you doing the interview, bro.
Mm-hmm. What you want to tell me about? You said major motion picture directed by a woman. What can you tell us about?
I was just making that statement to let you know that we are squeezing you in out of respect for Howard University and your radio station, but that I am busy... You know, and I'm on set.
Right.
I'm just giving you that information.
Right. But can you tell us about the movie at all? Or is it?
No, it's not top secret. The movie's called The Block Party.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Juneteenth base. It's the first African-American film about Juneteenth to be shot since Juneteenth has been made a legal national holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by a black woman named... written by a black woman named Lisa Leette Mathis, and is directed by a black woman named Dawn Wilkinson. And it has one of the major motion picture stars is Margaret Shug Avery, and John Amos is in it, and myself.
I was about to say, and you.
Well, I was always going to include myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, okay, what's next?
I did want to say, and again, you know, thank you both for coming on the program, because I am personally just a big fan of black women comedians. I think I think they have the stuff. I think they have the juice. I think they are funnier. I think there's something to them. I mean, you know, the brothers are good now, and I don't want to take anything away from them. But I think there's just something about whether you're a veteran or they are up and coming that there's just something about them that just really, really strikes me. And I'll ask you, Queen, from your perspective, you've been doing this, what, some 28 years. What do you think is the difference?
Well, I think that with men in general, they kind of get away. They're allowed to get away with a little more mm-hmm. than females do. A lot of times in the comedy industry, you'll see a bunch of men on a show and no woman or maybe one woman on the show. And I actually just did a podcast and they had like two different men on there. And this wasn't comedy. It was just I was a guest. And I was like, well, why we don't have any females? I have no problem with sharing, you know what I'm saying, the spotlight or whatever it is. But it seems that men, they'll put more of them on the show. And sometimes it's the good old boys club, who know who like who, you know, that type of thing. And they'll put them on the show. If they cool with a female, they'll put the female on. But I believe that's why I started my Funny and Stilettos, to show that women, we sell tickets, we're funny, we can put asses in seats, you know what I'm saying? And we, just as all women alone, we all have different stories. We're not necessarily all talking about the same thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Lunell. I think Queen hits it, you know, on the head, that women comedians talk about different things than men. And granted, okay, I know a lot of them, you know, they may talk about sex, but and this is just my perspective.
Listen, excuse me, I'm going to have to cut you off.
What?
I want to say a couple of things because they have just called me back to set, so I'm going to be talking to you as I'm walking to a van, mm-hmm. riding in a van, and going back to the set. I wanted to say the reason I had attitude at first.
Oh, I didn't think so.
You would never do an interview with like Jamie Foxx and Kevin Hart at the same time. Queen deserved her whole time. I deserved my whole time. Now, that's where you can start, is because people, you know, they do different things to women than they do to men. And as far as women being different than men, well, women are different than men in real life. So, of course, we're going to talk about different things. A man
right.
can't talk about childbirth,
right.
but a woman can. 90% of the audience, in any audience, a ticket has been purchased by a female, whether a man comes mm-hmm. with her or not. Mm-hmm. Women got the money, we buy the ticket. And, mm-hmm. You know, to have a comedy show that has five men, when you got 75% female audience, you know, it's just redundant. There should always be mm-hmm. a female in the show because you have mixed audience, you know?
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, it, you know, like with the guys, they are, you know, it seems to me that they're always talking about sex, but women seem to have it's they talk about relationships in a way that sometimes a lot of people just don't think about. And
well, you really can't compare the men to the women. We just different.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. That.
So let's not do that.
So tell me, you know, and one of the things that, you know, one of the things that I find, you know, really fascinating. You know, and I've been, you know, I love, you know, like I said, some of the new talent, but some of the veterans too, is that there is a thought process that I think that they've been able to really put forth that you just can't get from someone else. And from your perspective, Lunell, and I know you're a veteran. Talk to me a little bit about, if you can, you know, your start. Why did you decide to go into this business?
I never thought about going into comedy. I started out in film, in theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be a background singer, and I was singing and stuff like that. But when I was living in Long Beach, California, I had a roommate who was dating a comedian, and he owned a club, and he would be at the house a lot. And he thought it was real funny, and he said that if you ever want to come to my club, the minute you walk in, I'll put you up. I was like, I'm not thinking about doing that because I don't tell jokes, and I'm not a joke teller. I tell stories like Cosby or like George Carlin or Lenny Bruce and stuff like that. But I did know a couple of stories that had happened to me that I thought was funny. So one night we did go down to the club, and I went on stage, and I killed it the very first time I went on stage. I stepped off the stage, and this guy came up to me, and he was like, you know, you're really, really funny. You need to come to my club. And he gave me his card, and that guy was Robin Harris. So I met the late, great Robin Harris the first night I ever did comedy. It's sort of just like snowballed from there. I'm sorry if I sound distracted. Like I said,
no, you're good.
Now.
No, you're good. I can hear you fine. Go ahead. I'm listening. Yeah.
No, I was saying, okay. So that's basically it, you know. I'm in a van full of people, by the way, right now. You know.
But did,
go ahead. You better get as much out of me as you can, and you can do the rest of the interview with Queen.
Hey,
I'm gonna be having to get off of here.
Like I said, you know, stuff happens. That's why, you know, that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, they told y'all I was on the set when you booked this interview. I wish I had more time to go more in depth in things, you know. But
that's for busy people in entertainment. That's what happens. You know, we're used to it, you know, so. But I guess, you know, from a veteran, what advice would you give for, you know, women who are trying to get into the business, stay in the business when, you know, you have such adversarial kinds of issues? And that was one of the things that I did want to have a chance to get into, you know, with you. And I wanted to talk to Queen about this as well.
Advice a lot, because the thing about comedy and the younger people is they have a different attitude than people like Queen and I do, I believe. Queen and I probably studied and shadowed and watched a lot, but these comics come into the business thinking that they know it all, and they don't want to hear any advice. They think they've got it all wrapped up. I would say, if somebody cared, I would say that every time you go into a comedy club, you don't have to jump on the mic. Sit and study the audience. Sit and study what worked and what didn't work in that room. And why? And notice, is the audience black? Or are they white? Are they Latin? Are they gay? Are they straight? Are they couples? Are they single? Are they drinking? Are they sober? And, you know, you have to be able to read your audience to know exactly what kind of material you're going to do, unless you're a scripted comic and you do the same kind of comedy every room that you go to, in which case you're not going to make it. And also, if you're one of those people who like to sleep a lot, you got to get 8 hours of sleep every day, or you like nice things in your house, you like to have a stable relationship, this is not the business for you, because you don't get your sleep all the time. Your relationship will probably lose your relationship, because while women are used to men being out on the road and coming home, men don't like that. They don't like it when their woman's not there on Christmas. They don't like it when their woman's gone on New Year's Eve. They don't like it when they miss their birthday or the kids' school play, because they out doing shows, and so oftentimes that gives us some, you know, issues to deal with.
Double standard.
And, you know, and then also they don't always like the attention that we get. You know, your man has to be able to be so secure that he can stand aside and let you take the picture, because they don't want a picture of you as a couple. They want a picture with you by yourself. And it's just a whole myriad of problems that go with doing this job. And then also you get kind of hardened, because your femininity gets tested all the time, and you have to be strong. Comedians are not all times gentlemen. They don't carry your bag. They don't help you out the car. Not all times. Some do, lots don't. And if you're with five guys, they'll walk off and go talking by themselves while you're still struggling with your suitcase. All the time, they're not gentlemen. Some are, most are not. So if you're a whiny type of chick, or you're dainty and you need a lot of help, then this is not the game for you. You got to develop some really thick skin, you know? and you got to be able to stand up for your right.
I don't
know. Be heard.
Standing up for your rights
and being heard, you know, when we do that, it's considered bitching. You're bitching, you know.
Yep. I don't know, Lunell. That sounds like some really good advice to me.
Yeah, well, this is for those who want to hear it, they can take it. Queen knows I never lied, and she knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's true. And the thing about it is, like she said, studying. You know, like comics ask me, a new comic, oh, how do I get started? Someone last night I performed, oh, they think they, everybody thinks they're funny because their family say they're funny. Go to the stage. Put together your first 3 minutes of material. Even before you come to the stage, pick up that brush, that comb, put it to your mouth, act like it's a microphone. Because if you don't know how to hold a microphone, if you can't control the room, if you're not confident, people are not going to allow you to take them anywhere because you're not confident. You have to be confident. So you need to practice in the mirror and all of this. So get your material together. Because just because your family say you're funny doesn't mean that you're funny. You know,
and people understand. I'm sorry, Queen. You know, I've got limited time right here. And there's simple things such as when you get on the stage, you have to move the mic stand. If you get on stage, you grab the mic and start running off at the mouth. Now there's a third wall, and people are disturbed by the mic being in your way. You know, there's protocol. There's levels to this stuff, and there's things that you must do. And the gratuitous use of the N word or being drunk. And you know, I went through it. I've done it all. You know, they think they're funnier when they're drunk. Well, what if you go to a college? You can't be drunk there. They don't serve no liquor. What if you go do a church show? You can't be drunk there. They don't serve no liquor. So you got to be funny without all that. And damn what your family say. But if you're black and you're doing comedy, you have to be able to do comedy in front of your people. If you get hired for the Jewish Community Center, you got to be funny to them.
That's right.
If you get hired for the Gay and Lesbian Coalition, you got to be funny to them. So, you know, you can't just be funny to the people at the backyard barbecue. That's not what it's about.
I got to tell you, my phone is blowing up. But I got some of my friends who love both of y'all, let me tell you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lunell, do we have you for a few more minutes?
Yeah, I'm riding right now. I think we got maybe about 8 blocks or so to go. I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I need to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Queen Aisha. Queen, it'll be good to talk to you too. And Lunell, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2, the app. Don't forget to download it. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about women in the comedy business. My guests are Queen Aisha and Lunell. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back, before I go to the phone lines, to something that you were co-signing on, Queen, that Lunell said about your femininity being challenged. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, it's double standards. It's the same thing you see out in the big world happens in comedy. It's just a small microcosm of it. It's double standards as far as, even like headlining, Lunell, you understand, it's like a female headline. This one guy comedian, we were really cool. We did a show, and he thought he was headlining the show. And I headlined, and since then, he just feels away. So he deals with me different because they feel as though, especially sometimes if they started before you or they think they may have more credits or, you know, whatever, those petty things. But men, not all of them, but a lot of them.
But go ahead.
They don't do well with women that may have more reach than them. And if they're not secure in themselves, if they have more reach than you, done more than you think you, they think you're making more money than them. Just those types of things. They don't do well with it. And they'll keep you off of shows. They'll block you from doing shows. They don't have your phone number. They can't reach you. I'm like, my phone number been the same for over 20 years. Me and Sprint got this relationship on lock.
Queen. I concur. You know, Queen, I just a few months ago went out to where Dave Chappelle is in Yellow Springs. Mm-hmm. And I was on a show with like four guys. One of them was Dane Cook. Dane Cook used to be legendary. He did arenas before anybody had ever done arenas, and nobody would follow me. I had the headline because nobody would follow me. You know, you get to a point where you are passing the people who you looked up to. And sometimes people are cool with that, and sometimes they are not.
That's right.
You know, but it is what it is. The people are the ones who determine who moves up. It ain't about how long you've been doing it. It ain't about how cute you are. It ain't about none of that stuff. It's about,
hi, how are you
bringing it? Your stage presence, your material, your energy.
Yeah.
All of it. And another thing, we have females that play the same games, the hating games. I actually, when I was living in Los Angeles, I was at at Flappers, and I knew, you know, Lunel, you come in there, they'll tell you when you're going up and all that. Then my spot kept moving. And I was like, well, and now I'm tired. I'm like, yo, I got to go, blah, 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 whatever. So it was a female that was there, and what happens is, especially in like L.A., Los Angeles, a lot of times they'll have like agents, producers coming in. So if a person feels threatened by you and they know that you're going up first before them, they try to move their spot to get up before you because they think you're going to steal your shine. What's their shine? What's for you is for you.
Yeah.
You understand? And this is, I was like, yo, this chick just smoked me in my face and the girl she with and everything, and they're going to change my spot up. Because like I said, why keep moving? But they felt threatened.
We do steal their shine. Yeah. We look better than they do. They come to jobs with a T-shirt and jeans on. We come with bleach, you know, beautiful clothes. Because
and
I come from the old school. I come to look like a star and be treated like a star. Because people pay to see a star.
That's
they don't
right.
pay to see you in your jeans and a T-shirt. They can see you like that in the grocery store.
Well, Lunel, I got to tell you, it's the hair for me. You know, I mean,
it's the eyelashes and the nails for me, and the bling bling shoes.
That hair, you know. It's the
and
hair.
The nails. Don't forget the nails.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
and
Queen Aisha will tell you because you know pre-COVID, Queen is in here. She knows how I am. She knows how I am about natural hair. You know, so we can talk about that. Let me go to the phone line real quick. Tamara calling from Lanham.
Oh, okay.
Tamara, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell Lunel that me and my husband love her comedy and all of the comments that she has made this evening, both of the ladies. It crosses out of comedy across all careers.
Mm-hmm.
It's excellent advice. Excellent advice. And if young folks are listening, you need to listen to what these ladies are telling you. But you all are powerful. I love you. I'm not going to hold you. Please keep doing what you do. You're funny as hell. And just best of luck to you and your future.
Well, we're actually holding right now if you want to. Are we not taking no calls from the people? I thought we were supposed to be taking some calls from the people.
That was her.
That was a call.
I was walking.
No,
I got distracted. I got mixed up.
That's all right. Yeah, like I said, we do what it does. She's from my hometown, Atlanta, Maryland, just outside of D.C. Thank you, Tamara. Which reminds me, you are, Lunel, you're coming to D.C. next month. You're going to be with Cat Williams.
Yes, sir.
You're going to tear things up.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, that's what we've been doing for, like, we just started this, supposed to be 100 City Tour, but we just started.
Wow.
Hi. So this is, like, this weekend we're in Norfolk, Virginia. So we started, we've done, like, 7 shows so far. So, you know, it's been going quite well. I don't come to play. I come to destroy. Period.
I did want to ask you. I was talking to my friend, you know, T. Gray yesterday. You know, the comedian, entertainment reporter. She's interviewed you. She loves you. We were talking about, you know, your episode with Iyanla VanZant. It was heartbreaking for me. You were talking about the impact of your career on family just a bit ago. How are things since the Iyanla episode with you, your daughter, the family, and all? How are you doing with that?
Well, you know, we go in and out of good times and bad times like anybody would have. I could say that my daughter and I are doing very well right now. One of the reasons we were having issues, I believe, is because my daughter is a professional dancer as well. She's danced with Lizzo, she danced on the Grammy, she danced on Soul Train Awards, and she wasn't working, and neither was I. So both of us were a little depressed, not being able to, you know, do our craft at that time. So our heads were butting, and we're both very strong, opinionated girls, and all that kind of stuff. Shay, keep searching for me a highlighter, okay? Shay, okay, thanks, babe. And so we are back to work, as you can see, and some of that edge has been taken off. But we've also, you know, we didn't go there to fight with you, Yana. We didn't go to the fight at all.
Right.
We didn't even go there. You know, they asked us. They reached out. We didn't say, Yana, we have a problem. We want to come on the show. They reached out and said, hey, you guys have any problems? We'd love to have you on the show. Okay? So mm-hmm. I want to clear that up, first of all. We never wrote them. They reached out.
I'm sorry. Say that one more time. You kind of cut out just a little bit.
Okay. I said that we never wrote Iyanla and said, hey, we're having a problem. We want to come on the show. I believe that it was the season opener or second episode of the season. They needed some star power. They used Shay Johnson for the first episode, and they used me and my daughter for the second one. So I just wanted to put that out there. We never wrote Iyanla and said we want to come on the show. Mm-hmm. They reached out to us and said, are you having any problems? And we were like, well, sort of. So that's how that happened.
Yeah.
But we're doing time. It's two strong-willed women will bump heads from time to time, but I love her with every breath that I take, and she feels the same about me.
Yeah. And to that point, you know, Queen, and this is obviously not just a comedy thing, but I'm sure this is about entertainment or anybody who has, you know, hot, fast-moving, high-pressure jobs. How do you deal with the family piece when you are on the road? You know, like Lunel was saying, whether it's New Year's or Christmas or birthdays or, you know, special, you know.
It's really an individual thing. She made strong points about that because if you're working on the holidays, it can be stressful. If you have family that you can roll with and that's able to roll with you, you bring them. If not, then it's a holiday that we don't share together in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, save my plate, pack up my macaroni and cheese, and I see you in the morning if it's that close. Now, one thing I wanted to go back to we touched on earlier as far as, like, the young comics. One thing I know, when you grow as a person in your life and experience, your material grows. Nothing takes the place of that microphone and that stage. And a lot of times, like, comics, young comics, they want to rush through and get to where they're not ready for. You have to, it's steps, it's process, you know? Just like in life, you just weren't born 21. You had to go through things and have years pass to get there. So a lot of young comics, and I think in a lot of just entertainment in life, young people, they don't understand it's a process. You got to do your work. And you have to do your work on yourself personally. Because as you grow and blossom, your material is going to grow. You're going to be more free on stage. And when I'm on stage, it's freedom. It's freedom.
So, and just to tag Queen,
go ahead.
As she was saying, when you go and do a Christmas show or you go and do a New Year's show, the promoter doesn't fly your husband or your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come out of pocket and fly mm-hmm. them yourself if you want them to be with you on that day. So now you're taking a good chunk of the money that you went to get
mm-hmm.
and spent it to have your mate with you.
It needs to make
you know,
sense.
And then who wants to do that if you're going to make money? And okay, let me see that. Thank you so much. Hey, I don't need one. Can't take that. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Give it to Shay, because I can't wear it on in the scene. Thank you, baby. She's there. So, and then you know, sometimes the things that we're talking about, when Queen and I came up, there was no podcast about comedy.
Mm-mm.
There was nobody
mm-mm.
to listen to. There was no advice unless you just happened to make friends with somebody. Now, I'm from Oakland, California. I was born in Tyler, Arkansas. I was raised in Oakland, California. And luckily for me, we have great comics that came out of Oakland, California. One comic that has been forgotten about used to live in Oakland, California, had the first black female to have an HBO special. Her name was Simply Marvelous. She used to live in Oakland, California. Mark Curry is from Oakland. The great Laura Hayes is from Oakland. And I met Cat Williams in Oakland, California. So we buddied up because we knew that we were rare and that we were special. But that was the only advice that you could get from anybody was if they allowed you to tell them. Paul Mooney was from Oakland, California. I latched onto him like a cheap suit. I followed him around until he paid me attention. I followed him around until he got a chance to see me. And only after he got respect for me and my craft and saw what I did, then he started paying me some attention. Other than that, you're sort of like a fly that's buzzing around somebody's head until they get to see you and see what you do. And when you get the opportunity to perform in front of a legend like Paul Mooney, like Marshall Warfield, like Rinaldo Ray, like Laura Hayes, you better bring it or else you'll set yourself back. Because in comedy, you're only as good as your last show. I might have killed it last weekend. I might suck this weekend. You never know. And if you get cocky about it, that's when you're really going to have a problem. If you walk around saying, oh, I'm this and I'm that and I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill it, that's when you do your worst shows. You better be humble every single time you touch a microphone. Now, I'm a different type of breed. I don't write my material. I write bullet points. And then
Okay. Oh, it's your stuff.
I move in the spirit.
It's your stuff. I see what you're saying.
I ain't got time. I got ADD.
No, I'm not, and if I sit and write my material, I may as well do what I'm doing now, which is memorize something. And I don't have to do that because if I'm telling the story, I lived it, so I can tell it, and I know how to make it funny.
I also have a bachelor's degree
in English literature, so I know how to construct a story. That's what people don't know as well. You know, and even if you cuss and you use the cussing vernacular, there's a way to make that where it's not offensive. You know, some people say, oh, Linnell's vulgar, and I correct them. I said, I'm not vulgar. I'm explicit. Because if I was vulgar, I wouldn't be in the business because nobody's going to pay for you to insult their audience or have people walk out or have people complain.
Yeah.
You understand? There's a way to do everything. It's art. There's an art to it.
I am learning so much because... As much as I like to watch, you know, comedians, whether they are, the top shelf folks or the folks who are up and coming, I never knew that. You hear stories and then you hear jokes and you hear folks who were doing kind of the stuff in between. But you're saying you have some bullet points, but you never really wrote your stuff. That's interesting to hear.
Yeah, if it's something that comes to me, I'll write it down. But most of the time when I'm going to the stage, I write down bullet points. I already know the meat of the story. So I can move in the spirit, freestyle, and just stay within that and keep it going. Yeah, it's like long as I touch on the things that I know that are the highlights of the story, and I keep it moving. Like some people say, oh, I sit down and I write like 2 hours a day. I don't do that. That's not me. I don't do that.
So, Lunell, here's my question. Do you think that the business has gotten better for women?
Not necessarily, no. I think that we have to be better. I think that we have to work harder. I think that there's more opportunities out there. But, you know, like my goal is to be the next black female in late night. They've had females in late night. I don't feel like they've had the right one. If they did, they'd be on TV for 10 or 15 years like Jay Leno or David Letterman or something like that. So, you know, there's opportunities out there, but you sort of sometimes have to make your own opportunity. You know, with being able to do podcasts, with being able to do YouTube and stuff, you can build up a following that will follow you anywhere. But... as far as breaks and stuff, you know, as long as men are in charge, you know, there's not a whole bunch of female comedy club owners, you know? And, you know, you have to fight for things like maybe let's clean up this green room. It's disgusting. Let's put some flowers. There's a lady coming. Let's clean this nasty bathroom. You know, there's stuff like that people don't do that they should do when you have a queen and a duchess stepping on.
And let me explain something to you. She brought up a good point because one time I was doing a comedy club because what some people don't know, some of the comedy clubs, they actually own houses or condos.
Yeah, much I did know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the audience may not know that. So they'll put you there. And One time I went to this con, actually it happened twice. One time in Florida and one time in Virginia. And I was just like, I'm supposed to stay here? No. This is not clean, because it's like the good old boys. It's okay. The guys, they're going to come. They don't care how it looks. I care how it looks. I don't do bed bugs and I don't do roaches. So I'm going to need y'all to go and get this together. We need some Lysol, change these sheets. Because a lot of the, I'm not going to say a lot. Many of the guys, you know, male comedians, they could have hooked up with a chick, brought their girlfriend, whatever, clean this up properly. You know what I'm saying? And again, because they don't care, because they're normally getting all males, and they figure men don't care. Women, we're different. We like, yo, well, most of us, we like, no, I need to be comfortable when I'm laying my head down. No, that's for real.
Yeah. No, you said you were like, y'all, yeah.
Now, absolutely. Please, that I want flowers and candles, that I want this and that. I think with COVID, they have to clean a little bit better now than they
have absolutely.
Before. But, you know, they don't give a damn. You know, these guys come through three, four chicks in a week. What are we doing? Okay, where is she? Okay. Listen, you guys, I got to go. I got to go on set right now. It's been great, Queen. I'm going to call you when I get back to my room later on tonight. You guys, I got to go.
Lunel, thank you so much. Be careful. Be safe.
Okay.
Congratulations on the movie. We'll see you when you come to D.C.
Listen. If anybody wants to reach me and ask me further questions, they can find me on Instagram at Lunel, at L-U-E-N-E-L-L. And I'll be glad to, try to give you as much information as I can in the time that I can, but I got to go.
Okay? Hey, go ahead. Get the work done. Thank you so much.
Okay, goodbye.
All righty. Well, there you go, Queen.
Yes. Lunel doing her thing. She grinds.
Yeah.
She grinds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fun, funny, but, you know.
No nonsense.
But the seriousness of the business, because I think a lot of people don't realize that this is a business.
It is. It is a business. And you got to handle yourself accordingly. I know that. As a comedian, a lot of times people expect you to be on all the time, you to be the bring the joke, to bring the funny. How about I just want to chill today? You know what I'm saying? How about I need my money? I tell people, pay me before I go to stage. I promise you the show going to be even funnier.
Look, as many times as you've been in these studios pre-COVID, just talking, your reputation precedes you, so that is too much like right.
Oh, you know, but people will try you. I actually had a promoter in Delaware. I can't remember his name because I would say it. Like you have people talk about horror stories as far as like getting paid. This was some years ago, and because I guess he didn't make the money that he thought he was going to make, he felt like he didn't want to pay the comic.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where they do that? I was like, well, you know, I started comedy in D.C., but, you know, I'm from North New Jersey. We follow people. I literally called the police over, a police officer, and I was like, sir, so if I, like, punched him in his face, you're going to have to arrest me. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This dude, no lie, he called me a few years later and asked me to do a show with a quote-unquote big-name headliner. And he thought I was supposed to be like, oh, my God, yeah. And I was like, yeah, my price is this. And also, you still owe me money from blah, blah. He paused on the phone. He thought I forgot. Or he thought I didn't care. You're going to pay me my money, like, for real. You know what I'm saying? He never called me again. And I let people know, like, don't deal with this promoter. It's comics out there that are, you know, that can be shady, too. The generation that of comics that me and Lunel came up in and before us, it was just more of a compassion, more of a community. I can't really speak for like what the generation now goes through, but I know it's different. One time I spoke to a big name headliner and I asked a question. She was like, a lot of times the comedians, these young comedians are treating it like it's a street game, like it's a drug game. It's a business. Handle your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with
handle
that.
Handle your business. Dot your I's, cross your T's. Come to the stage ready. Some of the comics that do the wilding out and stuff, I would hear stories about like them going to the colleges and them not having more than 15 minutes of material. That was the thing. And then, you know, you'll have the older comics that will be hating, oh, they doing all the colleges. My thing is give people opportunity. If they funny and they doing what they do, let them do what they do.
Well, yeah, I was about to say funny is funny wherever it is.
Yeah, so a college hires you to do 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and they pay in good money.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come and do your material. You have to have material. And some of them don't. They're just going off, oh, I have television credits. They didn't come, people didn't come, students or not, they didn't come to look at you. They came to be entertained.
Yeah.
So when you accept the job, you have to know what you're getting into. Somebody calls me for a show, oh, how much do you charge? This is what I charge. And then people will be like, oh, that's your fee? I only want 15 minutes. This is how they do comedians. No, my fee. So now I tell people my minimum is 30 minutes. And this is what it is. It's the same thing as a speaking engagement. Because, again, people don't take comedy serious. They just think it's just you talking. You know what I'm saying? It's just you being... No, this is a business. This
and
is
it's
how
a craft. And it is a craft.
Exactly.
Because one of the things... You know, Lunel was talking about, you know, the placement of the microphone and mm-hmm. and the distraction. I agree. I agree with that.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. If there is, unless they're using the microphone as a prop, exactly. I do want to see the comedian instead of mm-hmm. the microphone because it really can be, you know, distracting. And as a critical listener, viewer, you know, you do watch how they use the microphones and the chairs and the like. But you know, I did want to ask you, and I didn't have...
Comedy is like lovemaking. You're not giving and sharing yourself with nobody that you don't feel confident and they feel like they already have. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you come to the stage, you got to be comfortable, you got to be confident, you understand? Not arrogant. Confident, like I'm gonna take you someplace. I want you to be comfortable that I'm driving this car and you got your seatbelt on, but you trust in me that I'm gonna take you someplace awesome and you're gonna be safe. If you cannot give that to your audience, you're gonna lose them. They're gonna be talking, they're gonna walk out, they're gonna heckle. That's what you're gonna get.
Who do you like? And I wanted to ask Lunel this, but from veterans to the new folks, and you know, I always know, including you know, the queens, the you know, the Aishas, the
y'all love calling me by my born name. Go ahead,
we go how far
we cousins,
right?
Very far.
Golly, COVID just makes me so mad. It just mm-hmm. does because you need to be up here in this studio, but that's another conversation.
But you know, I'm in Atlanta. You know, I live in Atlanta area.
But they have planes.
You said to me a ticket. I'm on my way. Let me tell you something. I don't play with COVID.
I was doing a show
last night, and I had my mask. I laughed because I literally had my mask off once I wore it up on stage. And when I took it down, I pulled it down so it was under my chin. And I said, I'm going to look back at this picture years later and be like, wow.
Wow.
Because that's where we are. Like, this guy said to me, no lie, we were taking pictures last night after the show, and the host promoter said, you okay with taking pictures? I said, yeah, I'm fine. This guy came and to take a picture with me. He is from Philly, so he was like, oh, you from Jersey? You know, that whole connection.
Yes, of course.
And then we taking a picture, and in the picture, he going to point to our mask and going to take that down. It felt like he was asking me to have unprotected sex. You understand what I'm saying? I was just like, and what I said to him, I don't know you. Like, for real. Like, he went to go pull my mask. I was like, yo, I don't know you. Like, it was a cigar spot. Like, I'm not playing those type of games. Like, I'm vitamin C, vitamin D, zinced up, okay, and mask. Oh, no. Nah. We not doing it. It's for real.
So who do you like, the veterans and the new folks?
So
women.
Women. Oh, women. Okay. I am a fan of comedy. So if I wasn't a comedian, I would go to comedy shows. Like even when I was studying before I went to the stage, I just enjoyed. So I love all female comedians. I love Samora. I love Samora because she's funny and she grinds. She's from Jersey.
Yeah,
she's
reachable. I love her.
I'll never forget. My niece is now, I think she's 24. Samora came up to me. They were doing a comedy fashion show at Howard University. It was at Cramden Auditorium. She came up to me. She introduced herself. She was like, welcome to the game. She said, it's not easy, but it's worth it. She's always cool. I call her. She answered. You understand what I'm saying? She call, answer the phone, call back.
whatever, very cool. Monique, Maryland girl.
Yep,
Monique,
Baltimore.
She does a thing.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is she's sad like me, so we believe in creating opportunities for ourselves. Some people that you might not know, Vanessa Fraction. Vanessa is from Chicago. She lives in Atlanta. She is hilarious. She did my Funniest Stilettos when we did it over in England. You know, I got stamps in my passport.
Mm-hmm.
Donna Spence, who is from England, is hilarious. Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah,
she's
course.
Doing her thing, and a very real, real, real chick. Of course, Lunel. You have Hope Flood.
Yes. You know who I like.
It's so many female comedians.
You know who I like, and somebody you may not have heard of. She's a young sister, Ayanna Duke.
She's done my Funniest Stilettos like twice. Ayanna Duke, she's from Maryland. Ayanna's been doing comedy maybe almost 20 years.
20 years, but I just kind of stumbled across her, and that's the thing that Lunel was talking about opportunities.
And you know, she's like an engineer,
right? Yes, she is. You know, and she, and, you know, she's got you know some of that Indian heritage. You know, but
yeah,
she
a Trini girl.
God, she is just stupid. I mean, every time I see her on the internet, and I just have to put my phone down. Because I'm going to be spitting.
I just
and some more, definitely, mm-hmm. definitely love, and Wanda Sykes.
Oh yes, Wanda Sykes. Yes.
But you know, it's the hair for me. It's always the hair.
You love it, so that's what be getting you to her.
It's the hair.
Erin Jackson. She's a graduate of Howard University from New Jersey. She is hilarious. That's Erin. Look her up. She is awesome. Alicia Cooper. It's so many female comedians. And it's nothing like being, I love just being in the energy of comics. And like Lunel said earlier, a lot of times people are like, oh, you at the comic club. You going up. Why? Sometimes you just want to be in the energy. Not
you
necessarily
do.
Go to the stage. You just want to be in the energy. You want to take it and you want to study it. I was talking to Rodney Perry, a comedian from Chicago, lived in L.A. and lives here now. And we just talking, as a veteran, it's like sometimes you just want to be in it. You know what I'm saying? Just chill, be in the room, talk to people, check people out, study. Because I'll look at comedians, I'll be like, that was so clever. How did they come up with that?
But
I'm like, they must smoke weed. That was really clever. That was amazing.
Queen, you have not changed. Look, you need to come back home to D.C.
You know I'm 50 and three quarters.
And you will always be 50 and three quarters.
That's right. I'm 50 and three. I am officially in the club now. Am I older than you?
No, I'm 57. No.
Oh.
Hey, I'm getting
AARP.
Hey, that's all right. But not everybody can say that. Queen Aisha, and we want to thank Lunel for spending some time with us too. Thank you so much. I want to see you soon. Be safe. That is the Daily Drum on this Wednesday, September 29th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and laugh.